The general argument goes that Henry II undermined feudalism by devising a series of laws and processes which took law out of the hands of the great barons and put it into the hands of the king. Now, there is an element of exaggeration there, because England had no police force, because there was really only a very crude way of enforcing the king's laws, through every 4 or 5 years the king's justices touring England on what we call the Eyre, E-Y-R-E, the general Eyre, where cases that had been pending for the previous 4 or 5 years were held. Because of all of that, it's very dangerous to think of some sort of primitive state being devised by Henry II. At the same time, though, because both of the popularity and of the relative lack of cost of these new processes in the king's court, to sue a writ for the return of land, for example, was a matter of a few pennies or shillings, because these processes that the king now offered became remarkably popular, the assumption must be that a large part of land law that had previously been held in the courts of the great barons, the courts of the greater knights, was now transferred to hearing in the king's courts. That those who disputed possession of estates, who might previously have gone to their local lord for redress of their grievances, now went instead directly to the top court in the land. In all of this, we're talking about the question of sovereignty. And sovereignty was a question that loomed very large for Henry II. It's one of the problems that lay behind his disputes with Thomas Becket, because after all, that was a dispute over who was sovereign in matters of law. Was it the church and the pope, or was it the king and his courts? In terms of Henry II's common law, and what we're describing here as feudalism, bearing in mind, of course, that feudalism is a word that most historians today are rather uncomfortable with, it's too neat a word to describe too complicated a series of structures and social realities. But we are there talking also about the question of sovereignty. We're talking about the removal of a large part of authority and sovereignty from the courts of local lords and its transferal to the courts of the king. There's one great proof that this attempt by Henry II, and why the attempt was made is another question. Some have suggested that it's a matter of right, a matter of philosophy. Some have suggested it was simply a matter of finance, that the king wanted to get the money, the fines, the payments that went with doing justice, and that the only way of doing that was to ensure that a large part of justice was done in his courts. Whatever the causes of Henry II's moves here, we have some proof that they were effective. The best proof, perhaps, is that part of Magna Carta in which King John was made to give up a series of procedures by a writ called praecipe. Praecipe is a letter from the king which begins with the Latin word praecipe, order, a series of letters from the king which had ordered local barons to transfer cases to the king's own court. That restriction on the use of praecipe, on this dragging of jurisdiction away from local lords into the court of the king, which clearly loomed large in the minds of the barons in 1215, is some indication of the extent to which the king's courts were now the place where people went first and foremost, by matter of choice, to get redress for their grievances, and the degree to which the courts of the great barons and lords were threatened by this new common law of the king.